This is Jay Sekulow. Here's the theme from the DNC debate last night. Vote for me. It will be free.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So if you watched the debate last night, I always look for, you know, I've been practicing law a long time, so I'm always looking for themes. What's the kind of the thematic of a case? What's the thematic of an event? What's the thematic of a speech? So the thematic I came up with on this one is, this is the DNC theme for 2020. And that is, vote for me, it will be free. Or, it will be free if you vote for me. And that now includes health insurance for illegal immigrants. But why don't we just have health insurance for people in France? I mean, this is the whole process, when you throw the numbers out on this, is pretty outrageous. But I think what you did see, there were a couple of issues I think that at the start here we need to be realistic about. Number one, I think the debate was won by Kamala Harris. I think she did significant damage to Joe Biden on the issue of race. And I think her line about that six-year-old child with me was frankly brilliant and good oratory, good, it painted a real image, and Joe Biden had no response to that. So I think he really took on some water last night. I think also it's clear that Bernie Sanders is running as the socialist that he is, including raising taxes on the middle class. I don't know how that's going to apply. A fly, but he said it, and he kind of doubled down on it. So that gives you kind of the analysis, but it's basically everything's going to be free. No one's going to pay for health care. No one's going to pay for college education. You're only going to work because somebody's got to pay taxes. So it's an interesting dynamic on how they're moving the field, but I think the real revelation of this, or the real takeaway for me, is that is this idea of everything will be free. I mean, how are we going to do this? How are we going to give – it's one thing to say if someone's here illegally and they have a heart attack, they should go to the emergency room and be treated immediately like anybody else. Does anybody disagree with that? No.
It's already happening.
It has to. That's the federal law. So you go to a hospital. You have no insurance. Guess what? You're being treated. And that's the way it should be. But to say if you're here illegally, we're going to give you health care insurance? Do you think that might encourage more illegal immigration? I mean, what are they thinking? Well, what they're thinking is – I think they've really focus grouped this to very young voters, Jordan. That's my theory, a millennial generation of voters.
Very young voters who don't understand how much this costs and how wrong it is to award people who have violated the law and give them, again, full insurance coverage. We're not talking about, again, like you said, I want to point that out. If you need to go to the hospital for an emergency, hospitals will take you. If you can't pay your bills, it's fine. I mean, seriously, that's American law, federal law. We treat people who have emergencies. What they're talking about is full health care coverage, prescription drug care, Medicaid, basically. I guess for most of them would be on Medicaid, needing the financial support. And when that happened, a number of tweets went out. I think that the most key was from President Trump himself. All Democrats, he tweeted this, and this is while he's in Japan or South Korea. All Democrats just raised their hands for giving millions of illegal aliens unlimited health care. How about taking care of American citizens first? That's the end of the race. So when people asked last night, this is the New York Post. I'm going to hold it up. This is the New York Post front page today. All major Dem candidates raise hands in favor of free health care for illegal immigrants. The question, who wants to lose the election? Who likely won the election? Last night from that debate.
No, their hands were up.
I'll show you. I'm going to tell you right now.
Who won the debate last night?
Who won the debate? Donald Trump won the debate last night when they all raised their hand. That may have been the moment that we all remember. We go back to in November and we say that's when the Democrats lost.
Keep America great.
Keep America great.
All right. We'll take your calls. You're already calling. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We got a whole panel here. We can give you kind of our sense of where this is going. But again, your call is welcome, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Stay engaged on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And get the ACLJ email alerts at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, I told you the theme. If it's vote for me, it will be free. Or if you vote for me, it will be free. Or it will be free if you vote for me. That's kind of what it is. That's their plan. I want to get our panel's kind of view on this. Jordan already said who he thought the winner was, other than the president. Wes, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Biden's still the front runner, but the winner of the debate last night had to be Kamala Harris. She was polished. She went after Joe Biden in a way that was so interesting. She sort of reeled him in by saying, "I know you're not a racist," and then totally slammed him. And she had been flagging in the polls, Jay, but last night she presented herself well and used her prosecutorial skills because she came off well-spoken. And even though she knew ahead of time everything that she was going to say, it did not sound rehearsed. She came off as very genuine. I think she probably won the debate.
It was interesting because I thought that her line that she gave when she said that six-year-old girl talking about desegregation and busing was me. Very personal. People are saying, "Oh, that was a rehearsed line." So what? You've got to be able to deliver a rehearsed line. It's like saying you don't prepare for a Supreme Court case with what you're going to say in oral argument. Of course you are. But when you get a question, you got to be able to deliver the line effectively at the right time. I think she did. Who do you think was the winner, Harry?
Well, I think Kamala Harris was the clear winner. And I think it's also important to contrast last night's debate with Wednesday night. So if you look at the Wednesday night debate, basically it was the junior varsity team. But Thursday night did feature a firecracker moment wherein Kamala Harris went after Joe Biden and he demonstrated that he could not take a punch, partly because of his association with segregationists and with school busing. So I think he needs to recover from that moment.
Okay, do we have the sound with Kamala Harris, where she talks about that young girl was me? I want to play that so people understand the context. We have the question and the response, or just the response? Just the response. Here we go.
In this campaign, we've also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden, I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
I thought, Than, that was Harry, I think it was very effective first. I mean, it was real. It really was an effective moment.
It was a very effective moment in two ways. First, Kamala Harris delivered the goods in terms of her delivery of the statement. That's number one. Number two, it demonstrated that Joe Biden was completely unprepared. And certainly the news media has suggested, in retrospect, that he has failed to listen to his advisors and he's failed to take these debates seriously. And I don't think he can continue to get away with demonstrating his unwillingness to be prepared going forward, because that suggests that he's unprepared to be president of the United States.
Than, what is your? I'm going to play Joe Biden's response in a moment, but what was your thought on the winners?
Well, it was devastating.
Last night?
Yeah, I mean, when you go into these debates, Jay, one of the things that you're trying to do is you're trying to come away with the most memorable moment, and then you're trying to make inroads on whoever the front runner is, whoever it is you have to gain ground on. And in that 30 seconds that you played, and it's compounded by the response that you're going to play in just a minute, Kamala Harris did both of those things, Jay. So, I mean, I know a lot of us have said she was the winner last night, but out of those that were on the stage, and I definitely think that's correct. It was devastating. It was memorable. That's the line everybody's going to remember. And I think it did do real damage to Joe Biden in the polls. If we track that over the next 2 weeks, Jay, I would imagine that he will leak support, and that support will go to Kamala Harris, mainly because of that one exchange.
I think we should play Joe Biden's response. It's long, but I think you need to hear it because it gives some context. And I do not think it was a good response, by the way. I think he's in a difficult spot here on this, but listen to what he said.
To mischaracterize my position across the board, I did not praise racists. That is not true, number one. Number two, if we want to have this campaign litigated on who supports civil rights and whether I did or not, I'm happy to do that.
Let me stop right there. First of all, every time they keep saying the campaign re-litigated, this isn't litigation. This is, you got to be able to respond to a political moment. This isn't a civil proceeding or a criminal proceeding where you're re-litigating. And let me break it to you. Breaking news alert. They're going to bring these issues back up. Your past statements become relevant to what you're saying.
And he keeps talking about, oh, I miss Fritz Hollins here in South Carolina. You know, he said that at the South Carolina Democratic forum last week. He said, I miss Fritz Hollins being here. These guys were segregationists. Yes, some of them changed later on in their career, like Strom Thurmond, like Fritz Hollins, but they were known for in the black community as being the most vicious of segregationists, and only very later in their careers did they change their positions. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
But who knows if that was really legitimate? And honestly, they're remembered for their racist actions more so than their switch on that. And he keeps praising these kind of guys. He brought up Talmadge last, you know, 2 weeks ago. Herman Talmadge. He brings these guys up.
Herman Talmadge, Fritz Hollings. I mean, you could go through the list. And
Strom Thurmond.
They were all segregationists. Now, some of them changed their views later. Great. But the problem for Biden is it's like as if he's tone deaf on the political reality. You're shaking your head there, Wes. The political reality of what he's dealing with a party that is, number one, younger generationally. Mm-hmm. Two, the older part of this. I mean, if you want to call Kamala Harris older, and she's not, but she was the six-year-old that was bussed.
Yeah. Well, he is a gaffe machine, and he keeps saying things that I'm sure his campaign, you know, leaders, their heads are spinning. But here's the deal, Jay. You look back at the history of politics in the United States of America, it wasn't just Fritz Hollins and Herman Talmadge. The Democratic Party, ever since the end of the war between the states, was racist, and they were against, you know, integration. That is the history. It is replete with things like that. And it's interesting now that the Democratic Party tries to present themselves as, you know, the espousal of civil rights and the friend to the black community. Their history is just the opposite of that.
I want to go ahead and take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Then I want to go into, in the next segment of the broadcast, I want to deal with socialism in America, because that's kind of the Bernie Sanders theme. We'll get to that, but let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Todd in Florida on line three. Todd, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Todd. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, you guys. I've got a question that I would just love to have answered during one of these debates.
Okay.
If we have all this money, trillions of dollars have been estimated to pay these school debts off and to pay for free college for the future, why don't we have any money to take care of our high schools, our middle schools, our elementary schools? Why don't we have any money to give our teachers a decent wage? Why don't we have any money for the buildings that are crumbling around these kids? Why don't we have any money to buy books that these kids need, that they're using 30-year-old history books, and we're having to pay everything for these kids to go to school in a public school that's supposed to be already free?
Yeah, so Todd, it raised a question. Look, the theme is it's free. It will be free. You vote for me, it's going to be free. That is the theme. The problem is the reality, Professor Hutchinson, from a law and economics or just straight economics standpoint, does not work. You cannot have Medicare for all. You cannot have no college tuition for public universities. I guess you could if you had a 90% tax rate.
Yes, I think maybe. Many of these policies are likely to backfire. So, for instance, with respect to the student loan forgiveness program, essentially this is a giveaway to upper middle class kids who are sent to expensive colleges by upper middle class parents. So effectively, the Democrats are demonstrating that they do believe in income redistribution so long as it favors affluent Americans. That's number one. Number two, it's important to note that since 1940 in the United States, education funding in the United States has continued to rise, and it is now the highest rate, I believe, in the world on a per capita basis. But that has failed to deliver educational performance within school classrooms, in large part because what have we done? We have funded an increasingly large bureaucracy which grabs the money from the schools and from school children and fails to deliver educational competence. So that is one of the clear and unmistakable problems that we have failed to debate in this country.
I want to play the first line of Senator Harris about the economy. This is number 11.
Working families need support and need to be lifted up. And frankly, this economy is not working for working people.
Okay, so that is absurd. Okay, statistically, that's just incorrect. It's an interesting talking point. Unfortunately for them, it's just not correct, because unemployment within the African-American community, Latino community, the American community, because I'm describing Americans, is the lowest it's been. So basically, there's no unemployment. I mean, is the reality. If you want a job, you can find a job. So they're running on this theme on how bad the economy is when the economy is great. So this is going to be interesting how all this plays out.
Yeah, and that soundbite continues. We'll play it when we come back. With a fact check from the Washington Post that was four Pinocchios for Kamala Harris. So we'll play that too on her repeal of the Trump tax cuts. We're taking your calls 1-800-684-3110. What did you think of the food fight, as Kamala Harris called it? We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So what was your big takeaway from the debate yesterday? We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, after we're done with this program, we're getting about a two-hour break, and then we're going to be, Jordan and I will be co-hosting Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. He's off today. We are going to be hosting. So, and a lot of our panel, in fact, everybody that's on right now will be on different segments of the broadcast. So if you are a Hannity listener, and even if you're not, which I'm sure you are, we'll be on that radio broadcast this afternoon. I want to finish the Kamala Harris and then go on to the Bernie Sanders socialist moment. But before we do that, let's finish up with what she said regarding the economy, which, remember, the first line was working families need support, need to be lifted up. And frankly, this comment, economy is not working for working people, which, of course, we know is not true. This is the rest of it.
Working families need support and need to be lifted up. And frankly, this economy is not working for working people. For too long, the rules have been written in the favor of the people who have the most and not in favor of the people who work the most, which is why I am proposing that we change the tax code. So for every family that is making less than $100,000 a year, they will receive a tax credit that they can collect up to $500 a month, which will make all the difference between those families being able to get through the end of the month with dignity and with support or not. And on day one, I will repeal that tax bill that benefits the top 1% and the biggest corporations of America.
No, she won't, Than, because that was not an executive order. And even the Washington Post, Aaron Blake, pointed out last night to fact checker, you can't repeal a tax piece of legislation on day one for a couple reasons. It would require Congress to act in one day, if ever, and that's assuming that you could get a Democrat House and Senate, Than.
Yeah, two huge problems. Those tax cuts are law. They are statute. They were passed by Congress, signed into law. She is not able to repeal them on day one, day 100, day 1,000, whatever. She cannot do it. So she has a misunderstanding there. But the second problem, Jordan, this one might be more significant. That is going to be wildly unpopular with Democrat voters that she needs. Those tax cuts are popular for those voters. So I think she made a couple of big mistakes in that bite. I don't know if it will come back to bite her. But if people understand what she was saying, they will understand that she didn't know what she was saying, and they won't like what she was saying.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about Harris, and then because
we'll
move
to Bernie. Yep.
Because I think she did. We're not endorsing what she's saying, by the way. I want to make that clear to our audience, her positions. But we're just saying that we believe that she rose to the top. She carried the day in the debate. I still believe that the person who benefited the most was Donald Trump because they all raised their hands to give insurance to illegal immigrants. That was it for me right there. But Harris, with I think something that wasn't rehearsed very early in the debate, set the tone for how she would be. And she needed this reset for her campaign. She was stalled out. And when there was a ton of crosstalk, and Joe Scarborough and a lot of the people have talked about this, it was just, it looked bad. All
the
these candidates.
Punch,
and here it is. And this is when I think Kamala Harris took the stage over.
We will let all of you speak. Senator Harris. Senator Harris. We will let you all speak. Senator Harris.
You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table.
She can, let me tell you something. You could argue with her policy. She controlled the night. Like we say in an oral argument, she won the oral advocacy. I don't think there's any doubt, Harry. She won the night rhetorically and preparation.
I think that is correct, but she made a number of unforced errors because she failed to understand, A, the United States Constitution.
Yeah, well, that was huge.
Yeah. Was absolutely correct. She doesn't have the unilateral power to repeal
the
tax law on day one. Number two, she doesn't have executive power to repeal the Constitution and the Second Amendment with respect to gun rights on day one. So she demonstrated beyond question her ability to control the night. I think the longer term issue is whether she can control the narrative, because many people will point out the errors that she made last night, which were not captured necessarily by Twitter, and also the fact that Biden demonstrated beyond question his incompetence.
All right, so I think that's it. I think we've handled that. That's a good analysis of Kamala Harris. But I think she won the night. I mean, no question about it. Like I said, not agreeing on policies. Let's go ahead and take another phone call here. Let's go to line two.
Yeah, let's go to Roman in Washington State on line two. Roman, your governor was in the previous night's debate. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
You're on the air.
How are you guys doing today? Good. Thanks for everything you do, sure. guys. You guys have been amazing. Just want to make it a small little statement, right?
Yep.
I am the American dream. I moved 5 years ago from Greece, become a U.S. citizen, and it's just the way Democrats handling this thing is just insane. They trying to find way to attack the president, then focusing on real issues, you know. Who yep. is the one that divides the country, the president or the Democrats?
Well, look, you, Roman, you raised the point. I think rhetorically here, I'll go to Thanon West on this. I think rhetorically, their problem when you had the food fight part of that last night, that is kind of where people turn it off or tune it out or say, yeah. okay, they're gonna put, you know, look, they are having to run against a very strong incumbent with a strong economy and a strong world posture. We don't have wars going on right now of huge. I mean, there's wars going on. There's problems in the Middle East, obviously, and we're engaged in Afghanistan, Iraq, but we're in Syria, but. We don't have a global conflict like we had in previous years.
Yes.
We've got a very stable and strong economy. We have...
ISIS is destroyed.
It's going to be very tough. They've got to come up with a message, and it's going to be free. It's not going to carry it.
And
he's a pretty good debater.
I would just say this. We live in a pretty divided country, but at the end of the day, when people go to the ballot box, they still want someone who's going to put forward solutions for their real lives. And I would just give you two data points. Number one, that's one reason why 60% of Democrats say the economy is in good condition. Yep. That's probably a bad sign for these Democrats who want to shift to socialism. Jay, the other data point, yesterday in the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, under pressure from her moderate caucus, had to cave and actually do the first step in providing a solution to the border and send some humanitarian aid down. Jay, that's where the White House has been for 2 months on that issue. And it was moderate Democrats inside the House of Representatives, votes that these candidates will need, who finally forced Speaker Pelosi to change her hand. So we might be divided, but at the end of the day, voters still want solutions. And last night on that stage, I'm afraid they didn't see very many that they're going to like.
All right. I want to move now to Bernie Sanders. Talk about that for a minute. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We also want to know what you thought with the big takeaways from last night, who you thought won the debate, who you thought got hit maybe the hardest. Bernie Sanders. So I'm going to start with, let's play bite number one. This kind of sets the stage.
Will taxes go up for the middle class in a Sanders administration? And if so, how do you sell that to voters?
Well, you're quite right. We have a new vision for America. And at a time when we have three people in this country owning more wealth than the bottom half of America, while 500,000 people are sleeping out on the streets today, we think it is time for change, real change. And by that, I mean that health care, in my view, is a human right.
Okay, health care is a human right. Question was, will you raise taxes on the middle class? When we come back from the break, we're going to find out that the answer to that is not shocking. Yes, he is. He does say quite right. So people that are making 50 to 75 or 50 to 100, I guess how they would describe it now. Your taxes are going to go up under the next administration if Bernie Sanders is president. How do you feel about that? We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. But we're going to take your calls. So when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, which most of you do, but if you don't, just go over to aclj.org or Facebook and Periscope broadcasting there. Of course, also on SiriusXM 131 and stations around the country. Back with more in just a moment, including your calls, 800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so if it's free, you vote for me. And if you vote for me, good news, it'll be free. That was kind of the DNC statement, and then Jordan's holding up the New York Post.
Yeah, we're going to put it on the screen for our Facebook and Periscope audience. This is the New York Post front page today. All major Dem candidates raise hand in favor of free health care for illegal immigrants. And their subtext, who wants to lose the election? And all their hands are raised. President Trump also tweeted, after that, it seems like the election is over. Now, the election's never over this early,
yep.
but that may be the moment you point to and say, that's when they lost the American people.
Could be. I think what we're going to do is we're going to get to the Bernie Sanders. We talked about a lot about Kamala Harris. Talk about Bernie Sanders. But I first want to get a sense from everybody on our panel as we start this segment off, kind of where they think things are. My view is this. I think Kamala Harris clearly won the day. This was a big boost for her. She rolled out not so great. She's not been doing great in the polls. She's not even winning in California, her home state. She had a strong night. You don't have to agree on the policy. She just had a strong debate performance. I think Joe Biden is still the front runner. And I think Bernie Sanders probably hurt Biden and Sanders a little bit. And maybe with Buttigieg, maybe it got him through his South Bend, Indiana crisis that he's been dealing with for the last couple of weeks. Jordan?
Yeah, so I think Biden probably loses a few points. He was never really getting above 30, so I think he could get – some polls showed him at like 29, 28. I think he could go as low as 25. That's it. I don't think he's going to go – I think that's the floor. He's got another debate in a month. If he does this again in a month on CNN, I think then, you know, he could really – but, I mean, 25% means that other people now can beat you. I think Bernie Sanders, as people have said, he kind of did the same thing he did last time. Yeah. But it wasn't versus, you know, corporate Hillary Clinton
right.
and a former first lady and kind of an unpopular candidate. And he kept the screaming up, but it was the exact same policies.
Yep.
And yet the parties moved further left. So I think his support continues to drop and he'll keep his little base, which may keep him in second place. But I think Kamala Harris may get enough of a bump to where she's edging out Bernie Sanders in a lot of in some polls. And I think on what you said about Mayor Pete survives.
Yeah.
That's it.
To the next debate.
Elizabeth Warren gets a couple points bumped from that first debate because she did pretty good.
But she needs to be on the stage with the rest of them.
And then we'll see how she really does.
First tier, second
then we'll
tier.
See how she really does.
Wes.
America, we are not a leftist country. Politico, in between the two sets of debates, had a very telling headline. They said, Democrats lead with their left. And indeed they are. And it shows how out of step they are, all of the candidates, with the American people. They've demonstrated that they're soft on illegal immigration. They're flirting with socialism, if not outright for it. Yes.
Right.
They want to raise taxes. They want more government regulation and more government control. And as Hickenlooper, the governor of Colorado, said, this is going to damage not only the Democrat Party, it's going to damage the economy of the United States.
Harry?
Well, I think the bottom line is the Democratic Party lost the debate last night because they continue to support policies that make no economic sense for common sense Americans. So, for instance, they demonstrated their support for Medicare for All, taking away private insurance from more than 200 million Americans insured by private insurance companies, including taking away insurance from Medicare recipients who are part and parcel of the Medicare Advantage program.
How do they think that's going to work?
I don't know. But on the other hand, they favor giving free insurance essentially to the world, to illegals.
Yeah,
come to the United States and we will provide free health care. So that's the problem.
All right. Go ahead, Fan. You got less than a minute. Go ahead. You can do it.
Well, that's the America Last policy. Look, I think there's a top tier of
America
four.
Certainly
Biden and Sanders. I think Harris and probably Warren, who is within 6 points of Joe Biden in an economist poll this week, I think that's a top tier. Can Mayor Pete enter that top tier? Maybe. But after that, Jay, I think it's a real stretch.
I think his claim to fame on this debate, if I was his strategist, was you survived because you were tanking pretty quick.
Yeah, and no one hit him on it. And if they did, I think in big trouble.
Clearly. They will. If he rises up, they're going to get him on that.
Get anywhere close to like a Kamala Harris or anyone else, they're going to hit him hard on his management of South Bend.
All right, we'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Hey, when we're done with this, we get a two-hour break, then we're hosting Hannity. So if you want to tune for that, it's going to be a lot of fun on radio. Back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. So don't just take our words for this either, because we're not, I don't think any of us are registered.
You're about to quote Joe Scarborough.
Registered Democrats.
Right here on this
I'm about
broadcast.
To play Joe Scarborough.
Oh, by the way, has a band, which I don't think, it's not bad. I like Joe. Not as good as mine. Not as good as the band
I'm
in.
He's gotten very into the band. I mean, when the hair starts changing over your...
it's part of... Listen, I'm not blaming him for liking his band, okay? Enjoying being in a band. I mean, fine. I get it. There's part of what happens when you get to be my age and start Joe Scarborough.
His decision-making lately. Politically, but this was interesting because he is on the network that hosted the first debate, MSNBC and NBC, and he had this to say this morning on Morning Joe, Byte 16.
Last night was a disaster for the Democratic Party. My only hope is people were not watching, and I will tell you why. Let's talk about the goal which every Democrat believes, which is we have to beat Donald Trump, right? So they're lined up in trench warfare, ready to get out of the trenches, and charge and fight Donald Trump. Instead, they all turn their guns on each other and shoot each other. And everybody's yelling at each other all night. Everybody.
There you go. My only hope is people are not watching my network. That's a good point, Dan. That's pretty good. That's what he said. I hope people weren't watching. It's the network he's on.
I bet they were, though, with the NBC coverage.
I'm sure there was a lot of people watching.
Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders being there. I want to get into a little more Bernie Sanders on abortion. This came up with Bernie, interestingly enough.
This was an interesting one, yep.
Because the question was, I don't know if we have the question, so I'll tell you what the question was. The question was, what would you do, Bernie Sanders, if Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court? Now, what he didn't go to is that, you know, states would have decisions to make about it. He obviously is not that educated on the issue. He never answered that. This is how he answered the question. He was pushed a few times. Take a listen.
Several Republican-controlled states have passed laws to severely restrict or even ban abortion. One of those laws could very well make it to the Supreme Court during your presidency, if you're elected president. What is your plan if Roe is struck down in the court while you're president?
Well, my plan is somebody who believes, for a start, that a woman's right to control her own body is a constitutional right, that government and politicians should not infringe on that right. We will do everything we can to defend our Roe versus Wade. Second of all, let me make a promise here. You ask about litmus test. My litmus test is I will never nominate any justice to the Supreme Court unless that justice is 100% clear he or she will defend Roe v. Wade.
Well, there you have it. So, you know, remember the old litmus test? Oh, I don't have litmus test. They do.
And then
maybe conservatives should too.
He gets pushed again. He gets pushed again because he didn't answer the question. What would you do if Roe versus Wade is overturned? That's great about your nominees. It's great about how you feel about Roe versus Wade. But what would you do, Bernie Sanders, if you're president of the United States? You're number two in the polls right now, the Democrat primary. This Rachel Maddow pushing him again.
What if the court has already overturned Roe and Roe is gone? All of the things you just described would be to try to preserve Roe. If Roe is gone, what could you do as president to preserve abortion rights?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Didn't come up here, but let's face this. Medicare for all guarantees every woman in this country the right to have an abortion if she wants it.
What is he talking about? So now it's going to be a requirement that Medicare for all pays for abortions. There you go. More free stuff.
If Roe versus Wade is overturned?
Yeah, well, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, I guess they could still technically pay for it in states that allow it. That's what their argument
would be.
Yes, but
he does not understand those nuances.
Let's go ahead and take a poll. No, this is, look, they were just running a party line. The Democrat, to be a Democrat and be pro-life anymore is like an impossible task.
They can't even answer the abortion questions in a solid way. I mean, I could answer it better as a
lawyer
for him.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call.
Bob in Arizona on line four. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Something that I have yet to hear anybody ask. When they talk about eliminating private insurance, yeah, health insurance, I have had several friends that have worked in that industry, and they made a nice living. There's about 300,000 employees in that industry.
Sure.
What are they going to do when those people are put out of work? How are they going to seamlessly take care of them so that they took their jobs away? What are they going to do for them?
The fact that they want to destroy an entire industry, which, by the way, think about that. I want you to think. It's a great question, Bob. Think about that for a moment. We're going to do away with private health care insurance. So we're going to make a unilateral decision that private health care insurance is gone. And well, the consequences of that are too bad, I guess, Harry.
Well, I think the caller raises a brilliant point. Those individuals would lose their jobs. But it's also important to recognize that most hospitals would also close. So many of the hospital employees would lose their jobs permanently. So effectively, the Democrats have committed to a policy to increase the level of unemployment while we are currently enjoying one of the best economic booms in U.S. history, the longest boom in the last 50 years under President Trump. So the Democrats simply do not understand basic economics at all.
Here is, I think this was a good question that was asked to Hickenlooper, and this is the socialism question. Actually, he gave a kind of a decent answer, I thought, actually. Take a listen. This is Savannah Guthrie's question. Listen to the answer.
What are the policies or positions of your opponents that you think are veering towards socialism?
Well, I think that the bottom line is, if we don't clearly define that we are not socialists, the Republicans are going to come at us every way they can and call us socialists. And if you look at the Green New Deal, which I admire the sense of urgency and how important it is to do climate change, I'm a scientist, but we can't promise every American a government job. If you want to get universal health care coverage, I believe that health care is a right and not a privilege, but you can't expect to eliminate private insurance for 180 million people, many of whom don't want to give it up.
So are they going to put that fan in their platform? Are they going to put in their platform universal health care? Universal coverage?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. And, I would tell you this. Governor Hickenlooper might be correct when he says that we can't let our opponents call us socialists. Well, guess what? Their opponents don't have to call them socialists, Jay. Most of them call themselves socialists. Ask Bernie Sanders. He'll take the title himself. So,
oh, he says
Governor Hickenlooper. Yeah, he might want to look inside his own party before he worries what the opponents label them as.
Well, no, but the policies are socialism. I mean, that's West. Oh, yeah. These are socialism.
They are. Bernie Sanders is openly, using that label and takes pride in it. But the other programs they are suggesting are completely socialistic programs. And here's a newsflash. The president recently said America will never be a socialist nation.
Yeah.
Well, here's another newsflash. I do not believe that we will ever have a socialist president of the United States.
I don't think so either. And I think the Democratic Party, if this is the way they're going to go this time, Jordan, they're setting themselves up for failure.
When they raised their hands to say every single major candidate last night and everybody on that stage raised their hand to say that they would provide full health insurance to illegal immigrants. They call them undocumented. That means illegal immigrants, not asylum seekers, not people on permanent residency, not even temporary residency. But to everyone here illegally, full health insurance paid for by you and me and our taxpayer dollars. And the New York Post said, after they all raised their hands, who wants to lose the election? President Trump agreed with the New York Post. And I think when we go back, you know, about winners and losers of the night, Kamala Harris doing well and all of that, she still raised her hand. The image is there. And this cover from the New York Post and this moment is, it again underscores to me how out of touch national Democrats are. They did pretty well in midterms, but national Democrats are, the National Democrat Party led by Tom Perez and these far left candidates who pushed Joe Biden as far left as they could.
No question, right.
So you got one guy, Hickenlooper, trying to say no. They've pushed so far left that they can't win because Americans, this is so out of touch with just almost every American. They don't want their taxpayer dollars going to people who broke the law.
I think that the seriousness of this, I think at the end of the day is you got to listen to what they're saying. And I meant this rhetorically, but it's true. It's if you vote for me, it's going to be free. And it'll be free if you vote for me. And, you know, so vote for me because I'll make it free. We didn't even get into the education thing. They will destroy the healthcare system in the United States of America. I'm looking at our team in the control room right now. We range in ages from millennial to older than millennial, right? Does anybody there want to have universal health care? Does anybody there want to have, you want government health care? Anybody listening to me want government health care and replacing your private health care insurance? And Professor Hutchinson said this, 200 million people are on private health care insurance. You know what? Generally, it's working out pretty well. There are problems, sure. Those can be fixed. I think it always can be improved. But my goodness, to revamp again 20% of the U.S. economy, and now the insurance industry on top of it? Not a good move. Why would you do this, by the way, when the stock market is at 26.6 and unemployment's at like, you know, 3.5-4% or less, and it's the lowest for minority groups in our history? Why would you start tinkering with it? Because you can't resist. But the fact of the matter is, I think if this is what the debate's going to end up, and there will be a presidential candidate running against Donald Trump on the policies that President Trump's put forward versus the policies that they're putting forward, this will not be a close election.
No, I mean, listen, they didn't even say, like, acknowledge the economy is doing well. How am I going to make it better? They tried to tell us how horrible it's doing, but look out your door. Look out your window. I know it's not perfect for everybody, but for the vast majority of people, if you got a 401k, that's a lot of workers, a lot of working class people. It's doing great. So why not focus on how you're going to make it better instead of how you're going to tax everyone to death? We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
We got to take calls. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we're going to go in order.
Yep.
Let's go to Jeremy in Texas Online 2. Let's have that sound ready for people, the bickering sound. Jeremy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, I just had a comment about Kamala Harris that I think was lost. Is it she said Americans want to know how we're going to put food on their table, and I think I speak for the majority when I say I don't want government food on my table.
I think you're 100% correct. I mean, this is, again, this is the it's free, you know, vote for me, I'll make it free. No, people want to work. They want to earn a living. They are. I mean, this running against the economy is so, it's so out of touch with reality. It's mind-boggling, actually. But you know what it is? This is the way they always do it. So it's like I can't come up with a new script, even though the economy is very robust.
For the most part,
Here's what gets me, Jay. I mean, a lot of times you'll make a point that might be out of touch with reality, but your voters like it. This is not that, Jay. I mean, we've said these numbers so many times. 60% of Democrats think the economy is good. 66% of independents think the economy is good. So this is not only out of touch with reality, it's just terrible politics. It's going to the voters who you need to get the nomination, not the general election, to get the nomination and telling them something that they fundamentally do not agree with. I think it's a terrible mistake.
Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 26,635. So it's up 108 points as we're on live. So, Harry, this running against the economy, it sounds great, except the economy is doing great. So who's buying this?
Well, I don't know, but I think what the Democrats are basically looking to gain the support of the 12 to 15% of Democratic voters that lean to the left, because that cadre of voters essentially now controls the Democratic Party. And so the Democrats are not sufficiently forward-looking so that they think about the long term. They have to win the election rather than simply attract votes from the progressives. And so they continue to forget about middle Americans because they support open borders. Open borders hurts middle and working class Americans while providing nannies and other low cost labor to globalized elites. Almost all of those individuals on this stage are members of globalized elites. And so they want cheaper nannies and let's give them health care. But that hurts middle America, notwithstanding the fact—
which Bernie Sanders wants to tax more.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so they want to ignore the fact that the economy is robust. African-American unemployment is low. Hispanic unemployment is low. American employment is low. The stock market is near a record high. Even the New York Times admits that.
Yeah.
But the candidates for president want to ignore that.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, we'll go to Jeremy in New York on line 3. Jeremy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. It's the first time calling. I watched both Dem debates. Pretty enjoyable, obviously, from a conservative standpoint, since they keep moving towards who can speak Spanish more and who can be more socialist.
Well, speak Spanish and not answer the question you were asked. it's like you had a prepared statement in Spanish, except it wasn't in response to the question. I asked our team, some of which speak Spanish fluently, did he answer the question? And the answer was no, he didn't answer the question. So, you know, he could speak Spanish. I think that's fine. I think that, you know, George Bush did that when he ran.
That's
great. And if he answered the question, it would have even been better, maybe. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jeremy.
No, not at all. I mean, it's just getting a little cringeworthy with who's trying to outdo each other. I mean, if you like it that much, go to Venezuela. I mean, we speak English here. There's nothing wrong with speaking Spanish. But come on, you're running for an election here. But anyway, I called about the socialism thing. My question is, and nobody's asked any of these candidates this, but, you know, part of the reason I've worked at my company for 5 years, part of the reason I joined the company is because they, you know, enticed me with a great benefit package.
Right.
You know, benefits are sometimes the biggest motivator other than salary to entice employees to join the company. So, I mean, can somebody tell me how these large companies are not going to be okay with this and they're not going to put their hands up? I mean, this is what they use to recruit good employees, and this is like the number one thing people look for when they join a company is good benefits. So
I think this is going to backfire on the Democrats in a huge way. And you just said it. You know, there are some companies, I think this is smart from an HR human resources perspective, are now listing salary as when they give you the offer and benefits, because a good healthcare plan that covers your family could cost in the neighborhood. I mean, I know what ours costs, and it's about $26,000 or more a family. And that's a good, we have a really good plan for our team, and we want to do that. And, but that's a benefit. So if your salary was 70 and you get a $26,000 healthcare benefit, that's effectively a package that's 100. So now you're going to get a government plan. And you know that government plan is not going to be the service you're used to. And you, do you really want to deal with another government plan? And the hospitals sure don't, because they're saying they're going to close. Yeah. So this is the repercussions of this are really serious.
And you're going to be taxed more because of that plan. We have Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Elizabeth Warren over these two nights have all raised their hands saying that they would abolish private insurance. It would not even be an option. There would be no private insurance for a public plan. And every single hospital administrator that has been asked about what would happen if it was just Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements to your hospitals, what would happen to your hospitals, quote, they would close. I mean, I think that's telling right there. There's one more thing I want to add before I get the last call of the day that I noted on my Twitter account. Do you know that Israel, our number one ally in the Middle East, never came up at all in all 4 hours, both nights of the debate, not by a candidate, not by a question. Israel never discussed in the entire debate. Our number one ally.
It's now a divisive issue with the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Supporting the Jewish state is a divisive issue within the Democratic Party.
MSNBC decided let's stay away from it because people like Kamala Harris spoke at AIPAC and she's runs far left, but she says she told New York Times recently that Israel is good on human rights and things like that. Final call of the day, Phyllis in New York. You are on the air.
Hey, Phyllis, go ahead. You're on.
Hi. I was wanting to say that with the Democrats, the stance that they're taking on the border and health care, they are literally saying anyone in the world who wants to live in the United States, if they can make it here, they're in. And we're willing to give the world health insurance. Why aren't the moderators putting this together and asking
them? Why don't we just give, you do it to illegal aliens in the United States. Let's give it to
Central Americans.
Yeah.
Maybe if we give it to Central Americans, they won't try.
Trouble right now.
Central Americans won't try to immigrate here if we just send.
Give them insurance. All right, so Than, we're going to end it with this. And then, by the way, we're hosting, Jordan and I are hosting Sean Hannity's radio broadcast today. So we're going to take a couple-hour break, rest our voice a little bit, and then back at it in about 2 hours. And a lot of the team that's on here right now, you're going to see, you won't see. By the way, Facebook and Periscope won't be on Facebook and Periscope. So you've got to go to the
SiriusXM
or your station. I think it's Patriot 125.
Yep, Patriot or your local FM AM.
Yeah. All right, so Than, winner, who?
Last night?
Yep.
I think Senator Kamala Harris.
Okay. Harry?
Donald Trump.
Okay.
Donald Trump, but Kamala Harris is where the Dems go.
Yep.
Kamala Harris to get the Dem nomination, Donald Trump to win the presidency. And I don't want to leave this out for anybody. Nancy Pelosi caved big yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the humanitarian aid, finally, after months of asking for humanitarian aid, she allowed a vote on the Senate bill, Republican bill in the House. It passed overwhelmingly. It'll be signed by the president. Humanitarian
aid
will be. She was blocking it, tried to even block it yesterday. Her party split, leadership split, but it passed. So there has been a break in the dam, if you will, on the humanitarian aid to the crisis on the southern border. A great piece up that I wrote with RTA, ACLJ.org, to learn more about that. We'll talk about it on Hannity as well.
Don't forget, we're going to be on Sean Hannity's broadcast. Jordan and I will be hosting. See you then in just a couple hours.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. And the